So true. Father, we come to you because we can stand solidly on you. And God, there are many people in this room that have been weak, but you have made them strong. And God, we say thank you for being that kind of God. There's people at home watching online. And God, they've been weak, but you made them strong. Thank you for being this kind of God. And God, I'm praying for the person who's weak today, that you'd come alongside of them and make them strong. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat this morning. Well, for those who don't know, my name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor. And it's still fun to do this every week. Praise God. Just so thankful. Thankful to be able to do this. Thank you to everyone who's online, too. Hey, we are wrapping up this teaching series here today. And it's switch. That's what we've been calling it, because God has called every Christ follower to make a switch in their life or to make a change in their life. We've been doing this through this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. And he wrote First and Second Thessalonians to that group of people in that town or that city of Thessalonica. And today we're going to wrap this up. And as we do, we're going to really spend our time today in chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. But I don't want to just totally ignore chapter 2. So here's what I want, because we've really already talked about most of everything that's in chapter 2. Chapter 2 is really, again, about the second advent, about Jesus coming back again. And in here, though, the people in Thessalonica were getting a little bit sidetracked. They were getting some wrong information. Paul starts that chapter off with this: hey, make sure that you understand that God, or that Jesus, hasn't already come back again, because there was some kind of rumor going on there. So he brings up, hey, there's this man of lawlessness. There's this man or this son of destruction described there, who will come and just basically wreak havoc here upon the earth, and he will trick people. He will have some kind of power upon him, well, not some kind, power from Satan, and he will be able to do what appears to be some supernatural things. And he will fool a lot of people. But what the Apostle Paul does is he comes back in this short chapter 2. He comes back, but don't get sidetracked with all of that, basically. This is my terms, right? And what he says is, what you need to do, though, is stand strong, stand firm. That even though it gets hard here, even though it looks like everything is, you know, turned upside down, in verses 13 through 17, he calls them to stand firm, and then he gives them a blessing. He calls this blessing out over them. And here's what it is. I just want to read this, these two verses in 16 and 17. He says, "And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope," right? He's calling them to remember all that God has given them. And then here's the blessing. "May this type of God do this in your life: comfort you and strengthen you and every good thing that you do and that you say." And then he continues on. Don't forget, we, man, put in the chapters and verses, right? So he continues that thought, and as he leaves this, right, he doesn't spend all this time about, you know, the second coming, the second advent. He's just reminding them again, hey, it's going to come, it's going to happen, but you and I are called to still live on mission. Don't get sidetracked with all this second coming stuff. Just be ready that he's going to come, and make sure that you live on mission and live with this sense of urgency. And that's what we hear, and that's what we'll pick up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. But before I do that, will you go with me in your mind to a time that you were in a pitch black room? Have you ever been in one of those pitch black rooms where you literally could not see? Like, there was no light at all. For some of you, maybe it was just playing Manhunt, you know, and you found the darkest room and you went in there, and like you knew somebody could come in there and you could be standing right in front of them, right? And they would never see you. No light was leaking in or anything like that. Do you remember being in a place like that? for me, the first time that I can remember, well, not really the first time, but one that really stands out, was when I was in sixth grade. And what I'm about ready to say next, many of you are going to judge me for this. Don't judge me. But I was coon hunting, all right? If you want coon, that's when you go raccoon hunting. And my best friend's dad was a serious hunter. And one thing that he loved to do was to go coon hunting. And he would take me and his son coon hunting. And we would go out into the dark woods, one field after the other. We would be deep. And this one night, there was no moon shining. There were no stars shining. And he had coon dogs. And they were expensive coon dogs. And you can listen. He taught us how you listen to the call, the dog's bark. And you know if he's chasing him. Or if he's treed him. And there's a difference there. And you always try to stay close enough when he's chasing him, but you don't follow the dog because you wait until they tree him. And then that's when you go and you take out the coon, right? Well, all of a sudden, Bill's his name, the dad, he thinks the dog has treed him, but he wasn't for sure. And so he started chasing after. And all of a sudden, he loses us. And I mean, we're gone. Now he's the only one with a headlamp. He's got a headlamp on. We don't. We have jack nothing. We no flashlight, no nothing. We're out there in the pitch black. We're three fields deep into this woods, and we literally cannot see anything. Now I've been out at night, and sometimes you can still see because of the moonlight or this, you know, you got some light. There's nothing. I don't know what happened, but there was nothing shining. And me and Tim are walking through, and all of a sudden we start hearing this heavy breathing, and we're like, oh my gosh, but we can't see anything. And next thing you know, we find ourselves in this field where there's these cows sleeping, and because cows sleep standing up, and they were literally right in front of us. We had no idea. That's how dark it was, right? Well, finally, after being out there literally for hours, I'm not joking, hours, I mean, I'm starting to get nervous. I'm thinking, are we ever going to get home, you know? And so we see Bill's headlamp, this little light, this little light that's just out there flickering, and we start going towards the light. Did you know that at Texas A&M, they did a study that tells us that if we were in pitch black darkness, that you could see this flame from 1.6 miles away as long as there was nothing obstructing your vision. That you could see, that's 28 plus football fields in for in away, that you could see this little flicker, that light. That little light, that shining, 1.6 miles away. I wonder about our light. You know, the brightest light is simply the one that shineth. And so the question this morning is your light shining? Let's jump into the text. Verse number 1. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, it's like he's wrapping up his letter. Finally, right? Finally. He says, we ask you to pray for us. And here's what I want you to notice, what he's asking for prayer for. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly. Not, hey, get, you know, pour all your energy into anything else. No, here's where Paul wants him to pour their energy into. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly. There's a sense of urgency here. That the most important thing is that people understand God's love for them. This is the most important thing, that this gospel message, that Jesus really did come to earth, that he really was born in a manger, that he really did live this life and then was crucified, or he laid himself down on the cross for our sins because there had to be justice for our sins, and he took that up on himself, and then on that third day he did rise again. That's the message, and he's saying, guys, don't get sidetracked on anything else, but make sure you have this sense of urgency that this message is spreading rapidly, not slowly, right? Because God is coming back, because everybody's going to breathe their last breath one day, and he says, pray that this message will spread rapidly, the most important thing, and be honored everywhere it goes, just as it was when it came to you. Now, think about that light. Think about, let's go back into the prophecy of Jesus. And do you remember in Isaiah 9? In Isaiah 9 it says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Can you, I mean, just think, that one point, now this was prophesied hundreds of years. Think about that little flickering light, that little flickering light that's flickering. 1.6 miles away, you can still see it. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And for those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And John says it this way. And now that was a prophecy about who Jesus was. John, the Apostle John, who was, again, an eyewitness of all of this, says the word, and we could just take out word and put Jesus there. It means the same thing. It says, Jesus gave life to everything that was created, and Jesus' life brought light to everyone. Think about that. That Jesus came to be a light. He came to bring light into your life. Yes, you are created. You are God's creation. But do you have the light of Jesus in you? And then John says this, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Think about how they've tried to extinguish the light. And Paul alludes to this. Look at back in our text in verse 2. Pray too. Not only just don't pray just that the message will spread rapidly. This is tied right to the message. Pray too that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people. In the Christmas story, they tried to extinguish the light. Herod the Great did. Known as one of the most evil men. And that's the word he uses, evil. Wicked and evil. Herod, do you know how evil Herod was? Not only, almost everybody knows the account of the massacre of the innocents, you know, every two-year-old and under who he had put to death. But do you know he had at least three of his wives put to death? Do you know that he had his sons put to death? Here's how evil this guy was. He was so evil that when he knew he was dying, that he had these Jewish leaders, many Jewish leaders, rounded up and put in jail. And he said that when I die, you make sure you kill every one of these Jewish leaders because there will be mourning when I die. That's how evil he was, because he knew no one was going to mourn his death, but they would mourn the death of these religious leaders of their day. And Paul is saying he is experiencing, and you and I experience, evil as well. And remember what John said, that they'll try and extinguish it, but they can't extinguish it. Darkness cannot extinguish the light. In that Christmas story, we see so much of that. It not with just Herod, but even when they flew, they fled. When Joseph and Mary, they had to flee there in Egypt. And even though they tried to extinguish the darkness, how God even showed up. He provided for them why they were living in for 3 years in Egypt as refugees. God provided through this gift of the Magi. And then think about this. When the evil, when darkness tried to extinguish the light on Jesus' death, many times, read the gospel eyewitness accounts of how many times do you see Jesus kind of like, and Jesus slipped right out of their hands. They were trying to extinguish the light. They were trying to put the light out. And then finally, on that one day when they finally got charges against him, they finally nailed him to that cross and they thought, finally, we have extinguished the light. But what happened on that third day? All of a sudden, that light was brighter than it had ever been before. He comes back. He appears. They cannot extinguish the light. And I'm telling you that God, or that the evil people, Satan, cannot extinguish the light in you either. And here's what Paul says in his prayer. The Lord is faithful. He says, pray that we'll be rescued from these evil people, but the Lord is faithful. Just how God was faithful with Jesus, He will be faithful in your life. I know that 2020 has been a crazy, depressing, full of anxiety, and all kinds of crazy things have happened. Things that many of you and us have never experienced before. But we can hold on to this. The Lord is faithful. And He says this. God will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. I know it feels like he's gaining ground. I know it feels like you're losing the battle. But you and I are called just to continue to be that light. To continue to shine wherever you go. He says, Paul says, we are confident in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things that we have commanded you. And then he says this, and may the Lord lead your hearts into full understanding. Now watch this. He calls us, he says, may God lead your hearts into this full understanding, but he just doesn't leave it there. He just doesn't leave it to, hey, make sure that people understand God's love for them. No, he says, have them and make sure that your heart leads you into a full understanding and an expression of the love of the love of God. A full expression of the love of God. That means that it's not just about being a candle. That candle doesn't do any good unless it's lit. And so it's talking about you being that light. He's just not calling you to be His creation. He's calling you to understand His love, which will move you into the expression of God's love. That means wherever you go, people should be able to see in you the expression of God's love. 1.6 miles away, people should look at your life and be able to say, oh, that's one of those Christians over there. Look how they're treating somebody. An expression of God's love. Oh my gosh, did you just hear the attitude that server just gave them? But look how they responded. They're just being a light. Did you hear how that clerk talked to them? Oh my gosh, like it was their fault. I mean, they're supposed to be doing customer service. But did you see the response of that customer? Just being a light. A full expression of God's light. Are you living your life in that way? Recently, actually, just this past week, was talking with a family, one of our partners right here, and they were talking about how they were going to be a light in their neighborhood, and they were bringing Christmas cookies over as a family to their neighbors, and they start naming off some of their neighbors, and then they got to that one neighbor, you know, the one neighbor that everybody has, you know, one that, you know, some of my neighbors probably think that I'm like that, right? If you're watching online at home. Yeah, I'm that neighbor sometimes, right? But the dad says, yeah, we got to go there, even to there. And when they went there to bring the cookies with fear and trepidation, bringing that to them. And that was hard to do for them because of some of the interactions. They knock on the door and that neighbor comes to the door. And they say, we just wanted to say Merry Christmas and here's some cookies and we hope that you have a good Christmas. And the response was, we just lost one of our loved ones today. The very day. That opened a door of opportunity for their light to shine in there, and they got to speak into that and make sure that they knew, in spite of whatever interactions they have had, they were going to be a light and say, hey, we're praying for you, and if you need anything, you let us know. See, that's being the expression of God's love. Some of us, you know, we have stopped praying on a daily basis. We've stopped praying on a daily basis and praying this prayer, God, show me today who it is that you want me to be the full expression of your love to. Will you stop praying that? And I'd encourage you to start praying that again. I'd encourage you to get back in the habit of praying, God, show me today who I can just express your love to. Who can I demonstrate it to? And you take one of these You Matter cards and you share that with them and just say, hey, I just want you to know that you matter. You say, that's just, you know, Rick, I hear you say that all the time. You think that's so stupid. But do you know what Mr. Porter just told me last week? Mr. Porter told me, and he's handed out literally hundreds and hundreds of these. I mean, he comes and gets boxes of these from us, right? He said, Rick, I've never had a negative response from anyone that I've ever handed one of these cards to. You know what being a full expression of God's love is? I tell you this, I say this often. I say it's wherever you work, it's in your neighborhood, it's where you go food shopping, it's your grocery store. You know what he told me? Rick, I was at Stop and Shop. I was at the bakery. I needed to get my bread sliced. I brought the loaf of bread to the lady behind the counter there and said, hey, could you slice this for me? She slices it, she brings it back. And he said, Rick, all I did was took out a You Matter card. And I said, hey, I just want you to know that you matter. You matter to God and you matter to me. Mr. Porter said that even though she's wearing a mask, all of a sudden tears starts coming down and you could see it going on her mask. See, that's being a light. Are you being a light wherever you go that can be seen for 1.6 miles? We all have our circle of influence. And your circle of influence being a light is 1.6 miles, they say, in a dark world. I think we'd all agree it's pretty dark in our world. And there's a lot of people that need light. And notice this, patient endurance. That here's this idea again, that God will give you the endurance. He will give you the patience that you need to make it through. He'll give that to you so that you and I, we can make it through this darkness. Christ followers, come on. If you're at home, come on. Christ followers, I'm talking to you, wherever you are. You and I, it doesn't matter how hard it gets here. We have been promised that we can make it through with this patient endurance. Some people are having a hard time. Some people are wanting to give up. And Paul recognizes this was true way back when Paul was writing this. Look what he says. If you slide down to verse number 11, it says, and yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work, and because you're living idle, all of a sudden now you're meddling in other people's business. Now, he speaks to a very directly to an issue that's going on there among the Thessalonians. And maybe it's because they all got sidetracked with this whole, well, Jesus is coming, why should I work? I'm just going to wait for him to come. Maybe they got sidetracked with that. And Paul calls them out on that, because that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be spreading the message. We're supposed to be being the light. And these guys are living an idle life. And he, Paul, goes on to say, we command such people, we urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down, to calm down, and to work to earn their own living. You know, one of the greatest ways to be a light is in your workplace, that you are known for integrity and work of excellence. I mean, the employer should be calling you all the time. Will you work more? Will you pick up some overtime? You should be having to say, dude, I can't work any more overtime. I've got to spend time with my family, right? They should be calling you because you are the hardest worker around. That's one of the best ways for you and I to be a light, is to work hard and to do our work with excellence. But there's something else that's going on here. Notice he says, settle down. I wonder, in our context, to everyone who's watching, who's here, I wonder, will you just hear this, and please hear this with a heart humility. But I wonder if some of us don't need to calm down with the whole COVID stuff. Christ followers, I'm talking to you. And this whole, the whole vaccine thing is going to come up next. And it's okay that you have an opinion about what, wherever you fall, on whatever it is. But you know what that's doing? That's getting in the way. That's becoming an obstacle for what your real purpose is. If you're a Christ follower, and I'm only talking to people who are Christ followers here. So if you're online and watching, if you're here, I'm talking to those of you who have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you have done that, some of you have allowed all the division and divisiveness around COVID and now the vaccines and the whole political scene, you've allowed that to become an obstacle to obstruct your light. Don't let that happen. I really believe this. I was praying this morning. I had not planned on saying this. I was praying this morning, and all of a sudden, God just flooded my mind with this. And that's why I come with full humility and gentleness and a full call for all of us to come back to the most important thing. And that's to spread this good news that we have a God who loves you. And you know what? He doesn't care if you wear a mask or don't wear a mask. He wants you to love other people. He doesn't, you know, the whole vaccine thing. What he cares about is that you love people and that you're a light. And talk about that instead of all this other stuff. Just love people. That's what he's calling us to. He says, as for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Never get tired of doing good. Don't let the darkness extinguish your light. Keep on being a light. Don't get sidetracked. For them, it was the second coming of Christ. For us, it's this whole COVID and politics and vaccines and all that. Don't let that become obstruction to your light shining. Why? Because the brightest light is simply the one that's shining. Take out the connection card. It's inside your bulletin. If you're online, there's a link there for you. Will you click on that? And let's walk through these next steps real quick. It says, I desire to shine brightly in this coming year. And I know that's the hope of every Christ follower. I know you want to shine brightly. I know that. And so we want to pray for you. And we want to pray that you don't get tired and let the darkness somehow overcome your light. Man, we promise you, we will pray for you this week. We'll do that. And we need you to pray for us. And if you're online, please let us know how we can be praying for you so that you don't become overcome by the darkness. The other next step on there says, pray for me. My light isn't shining. You know that your light isn't shining. You need God to light your light. You need to start praying on a daily basis. God, show me that one person. Who is it today? Is it the person in Dunkin' Donuts? Is it the person at Stop and Shop? You know, is it the person where I go and get gas? Is it you know, my coworker, my neighbor who I don't really like? Am I supposed to be a light? Yes, you're supposed to be a light there. Pray that God will let your light shine, that you will actively look for ways so that you can become an expression of God's love for those people. And what you're doing is you are watering seed planted in their life. And God could actually birth that into new life. You can text the word pray to 401-496-9710. If that's easier for you, just do that and let us know how to be praying for you. But if you are with us here today, whether online or here in person, maybe you would say, I don't have the light shining in me because I don't know Jesus as my Savior. We would love to be able to have a conversation with you. Not only do we want to pray for you, we would love for you to text the word trust to that same texting number, 401-496-9710, and let us know that's where you're at, and we will be able to reach out to you and have a conversation around this whole idea of how you can have Jesus as your Savior. And no better way to go into 2021 than with Jesus as your Savior. Father, we come to you because we need you. We come to you and we recognize you as our Savior. And you're not just our Savior, you are our daily companion. You daily walk with us. You show us the way. God, you light our light so that we can be a light and be the full expression of your love. And God, I'm praying for that Christ follower that needs to be reignited about praying for that one person on a daily basis. And God, I'm praying for that Christ follower that's gotten sidetracked with whatever it is. God, I pray that you'd call them back to the most important thing, and that is spreading your light. And so, Jesus, we need that. For the person who doesn't even know you as Savior, Jesus, make that so real and personal to them right now. Call them. Let them know that you're talking to them. Please. Jesus, we pray all these things in your name.